Blog Talk Radio.
Sleeping with the lights on, buried in regrets, breaking into sweats, naked as a falling leaf. Well, it's a natural reaction, driven to distraction, clawing at the ghost I'll never meet. Oh, and I don't know where they go when they vanish in the corners of my eyes. And I don't know why, I don't know if they stay below or rise up to the sky. But I'm letting go, I'm letting go. It's a history that never really grows. I'm letting go, I'm letting go. Silent wind that never really blows. I'm letting go. I'm a slave without a master, heading for disaster, kicking up the dust in the middle of the road. I've been waiting on a free ride, ticket to a seaside thicket on the edge of Puget Sound. There I'll sit, I'll admit that I was only just a guest inside my skin. And by the dawn, I'll be gone and won't be holding on to anything again. I'm letting go, letting go. It's a history that never really grows. I'm letting go, I'm letting go. It's a silent wind that never really blows. Oh, tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet. I long to see you on a day when you won't drown. The constant dragging and deceit, your hands been tied in there to greet a life that's bounded to a world that keeps on taking its lead. Maybe you're tired of the strains, the lonely highs, the constant rains that seep right through you on the days you're coming down. Maybe relying on horizons where the skies they fill with diamonds, ain't surprising that the love that you have lost is in your mind.
Where we go, we'll take the highs and lows with us.
Maybe you're tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet. I'd like to see you on a day when you won't drown. Maybe the answer lies beneath these scattered words they put our streets, and now the lights without the power flicker on into the night.
Where we go, we'll take the highs and lows with us.
Voices. I'm your host, Crystal Hope, or Crystal H. I keep wanting to say Crystal Hope. I'm so used to it. It stands for hope anyway. But yeah, tonight we are going to be doing some art that I found. I've been doing some contests and stuff on it and things like that. So I found her website and everything. She's really, really, really good. And I really wanted some people to write more to her. So yeah, I have a few writes tonight, not too many, but I'm excited to see what we got. And let me go ahead and let Deb in. I was going to do that earlier, and I didn't. Hi, Deb.
Hello, Crystal. Welcome back to Hosting Land.
Hosting Land, is that what it's called?
That sounded good.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe we should call it a team of voices sharing love and respect in the hosting land.
There you go.
It did feel weird not to host or call in shows for a while. But at the same time, like being busy and stuff like that, it usually would be like on the weekends I would think about it. And then usually where I was, it was always storming or the Wi-Fi just wasn't very good. I was kind of out in the middle of nowhere, so call, I had no signal, nothing. But it felt weird not calling for a while.
It seemed like a long while. You get used to hearing somebody, and then when they're not there, it just seems like forever, you know?
Yeah. It often does feel like that, too. I know, like, when I've been, like, either talking to someone for a long time or even jobs that I know you have and stuff like that. And then when you either not talking to that person anymore, you leave that job or something like that. And it's weird because then you're so used to hearing their voice or being around people. And then when you're not, because that was the way it was for me, is that I was around a new set of people when I was either used to being around people where I lived or being on the podcast or something like that. And I don't know, but I definitely missed it though, because a lot of the times I remember you guys always calling me an old soul. And usually when I hang out with people that are my age or younger than me, I am never fit in. I never do, because like I tell them I write poetry, they're like, oh, that's nice. And they're just like, they have no clue. But, yeah, it was definitely interesting, though, to do the chant stuff.
It was cool of them to prove it for us. But, no, I feel you, too. I got along with the kids older than me as well, because it was like, you know, sometimes, I don't know, the petty high school stuff isn't always as exciting as some people make it out to be, you know, but whatever, to each his own and all that. But, yeah, it makes a big difference when you are hanging out with like-minded people versus when you're not, and you tend to slowly gravitate towards the like-minded and, you know, goes down like that. But that's because you really are an older soul with an amazing pen, and hey, it is what it is, right?
Yeah. I'd say definitely being out in nature, that had me, I didn't always have time to write, but when I did, a lot of times I would just like sit by a lake or by a creek or sit by a tree somewhere or something and just, like, look at my surroundings. And then I'd have, like, very deep thoughts, and normally I would write those down, like, or at least try to. I don't even think a lot of my thoughts and stuff I tried to write down and I never got a chance to. I swear I would have probably written a lot more poetry this summer if I had had a chance. But I tried to write, like, what I could. And everything. But, yeah.
it's just harder than others. And then if you try to force it, it's not the same anyway. So, and then sometimes you write and you just write another one, and your muse is on a roll. I don't know. But we definitely missed you.
Yeah, like I said, it was different. But I enjoyed it too. There's one show that I called on, I think it was a Sweet Show, and I had I had Raconteur, and I had a couple other people that were asking me, they're like, where are the weird camp stories or the haunted camps or things like that? Everybody was asking me that, so I know I eventually got to write all those weird things that happened down. There were some. There were some weird, because it is creepy when you're out in the middle of nowhere and it's late at night and you're walking back to your cabin. I actually slept several times in just an empty cabin, and people were like, why did you do that? Like, weren't you scared? And I was like, no, not really. Like, kind of more peaceful. And then there was a cabin that everybody kept saying was haunted, and then me and a few other girls ended up staying in that cabin. And the worst thing about that cabin, it was not haunted. It was just hot because the AC barely worked. And it was like 90-something degrees outside. And well, maybe not at night. At night, it might be like, I'd say like maybe late 70s or somewhere in there. But when it was hot for the entire day and then all that hot air is in the cabin and stuff, and the AC barely blows. It would take me a while to go to store in that week. I'm glad that was only 1 week we had to stay in that cabin. I don't even know how many times people stayed in that cabin, and I hope it wasn't a lot, because that place was hot. And I don't
humidity
recommend.
Doesn't help
the thing
either.
Is, I think, oh no. So I went to North Carolina. That's where I went for the camp, which I know is a few states away. Everybody kept asking me, they're like, why'd you come so far? And I was like, well, I wanted to travel. And I was like, and I wanted to travel. And then I didn't want to just travel and then like waste a bunch of money by not doing anything. And I was like, so I decided just to take a job, like a temporary job somewhere. And so that's what I did. But everybody kept asking me, they're like, why'd you come here? And I was like, well, I'm getting paid and I get to explore and different things like that and travel and stuff. So I was like, it's a win-win for me. And plus I got to work with kids. I really liked that and everything. But I knew I was going to have weeks where there were going to be children that I absolutely loved. And then there were going to be weeks where I had children that I wanted to send them home the first night. But, and it was that way. It was the teenagers, too. I had a few teenagers that one day, they decided to draw over the wall with markers.
Oh,
these were 13-year-olds. My co-counselor saw me, like that morning, I went to go change in the bathroom stall. And I came out, and she was like, Crystal, you're fuming. And I was like, I know. I was like, they drew all over the walls. And I was like, serious. And she even said to me and everybody else, she was like, you know how quiet Crystal is? And like, I was like, she's not quiet. I was like, and she does like get mad at things. Because normally, like, people would do stuff, it wouldn't bother me. And then, but like, that bothered me because they were older girls that definitely knew better not to. They ended up, like, biting people, starting fights, whole nine yards. And I was like, y'all are 13. I've had 8-year-olds that act better than you guys. That was bad. The 8-year-olds, I say, were probably the most
fun.
Sadly,
it sounds about right, though. Something happens, you turn into a teen, and your brain goes haywire, and you turn into a, I like to say, PETA, pain in the, you know, butt. And like hangs on tight for a while, and then they turn human again. Sometimes.
sometimes. I was going to say, sometimes I don't think they entirely grow out of it. I don't know. I mean, I like being a teenager. I probably had a few of those, like where I hated the world at the time or something like that, and nothing made sense. But nothing ever really does make sense. But I didn't understand any of those girls. I was like, do any of y'all have a brain? Like, common sense, anything? I don't know. It definitely seemed like that they were, you know, being a pain in the butt, but I don't even know on that one. But, no, I enjoyed the younger ones much better because there was a lot less drama and everything. It was a lot more fun with them than it was teenagers. We've got a caller. It looks like we've got a
general rule sometimes.
Right? Hi, AP.
Hi, Crystal. Welcome back.
Hey,
AP.
Thank you. I was just talking to Deb about being back and the do's and don'ts of summer camp. Don't have teenagers.
Well, I think there's a pretty good rule for life, and that is don't have teenagers, Crystal. But, you know, that's just where I start.
See, it's always a teenager thing.
Yeah. I guess in the future, I'll dump my teenagers on the side of the road. As soon as I turn 13, be like, well, it was nice knowing you. I know the age is actually
exactly
18 for you to move out, but you can move out at 13.
Yeah. I say there's a lot of sort of 5 or 6 years there. Still, you just give them to, you know, some charitable institution and pick them back up when they're 23.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm just trying to decide.
Who knows what they could have done by then.
Exactly. Exactly. Who knows? Strange world. Could be.
I know.
The need for it.
Well, AP, do you need to read and run, or are we good? Letting know it.
Everything equal, but if I could.
Okay, that's fine. I hadn't even started poetry. I didn't know who all was going to call tonight. I only have, I think, 7 poems, I think, somewhere in there. But I'll go ahead and put yours on the board.
Mine.
And then I've...
None of them's mine, Crystal. I followed instructions. I went to your page and saw that there was a painting you really liked. And so I went and followed the link and went and got one of their paintings, which are really quite sweet, actually, Crystal. I really like them.
I know. I was looking for pictures for my picture contest, and I kept running into this one girl, and I kept finding all these pictures that I liked of her, so I found her website, and I was like, that's me. And it was right before I needed to have an idea for a podcast, so I just decided to do her and stuff. I figured if she has a lot of different paintings and things, I feel like people could, like, relate and stuff like that. But, yeah, whenever you're ready, AP, you can go ahead and read.
No, they're really nice. So this was one of her more recent images. This is Memories Cast, and it goes a little bit like this. Recall when wind currents still played, their presence would lead into a smile well before the rains and clouds arrayed or screens would seek out for a while. A thin piece of canvas nailed to wood, all it takes to find the beauty of flight, and the kite goes seeking, as it should, the currents to push into skies white. Rattles and wraps as the material strains, a frame and its whining buzz reminds, grabbing as your neck cranes, to childhood memories left far behind. Moments of discovery and those of joy found then troubles drifted away so fast, when all we had to do was grab a toy, and in running, any ills were left cast. in poem.
I like that. It definitely gives that nostalgia feel of, especially at the ending when you're talking about that all we had to worry about was grabbing a toy and running and stuff like that. Especially when you're around children a lot too, because you get to at least try and that type of freedom that they really deserve. Because I know I've seen some kids that they don't always get the joy of just like not really having to worry about things. And I oftentimes just don't even tell kids about stuff. I'm like, if something bad's going on, I'm like, unless it's absolutely mandatory to tell them, I'm not going to at the moment, because like they don't need to have all those worries in the world. And I feel like with this, is you're kind of going back to that time where it was a good time being a kid, and you just run around and play with toys and enjoy things around you. And I like that. It definitely gives a bit of nostalgia and things.
Cool.
Deb, you want to comment?
Yeah, I was thinking that there was a really gentle innocence about the art, and then you turned around and left the reader, listener, with the same feel from your words, that innocence is there, that feeling that if, you know, you could just kick back and have some fun with your friends and some toys and forget about the world, it would take all your troubles away. And, you know, you're kind of left with the, oh, to be a kid for a day, you know, take my troubles away. So I thought this was a really sweet write.
Thank you, Dave. And
comment, Deb. I was commenting. Go ahead, AP.
I was just going to say I've been encouraged to do a bit of sketching recently, Crystal, and I think that helps me to get in contact with my inner kid. There's something about doing that which really helps. I don't know why, but it does.
For me, a lot of the times, if I need to get inspiration for something, especially when I'm like trying to write children's books or things like that, or a children's poem, something of that sort, I've actually gone in the library and looked at like different children's books. I've even read a few of them, and I know that I'm a grown woman walking in there reading children's books, but I don't know, there's something, sometimes you just look at it and it gives you some type of creativity. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it to me.
No, exactly. Exactly right. And you know, whatever it takes. And so that's my, as you can see, a little sketch of a teddy bear there, Crystal, on the board. I've been getting better slowly.
I like the way that the fur looks on it. It kind of makes me think of like a teddy bear that's kind of been played with a little bit. I don't know, that is kind of the way it feels to me. As soon as I saw the ears, because, like, you see the little bit of fur poking out, and it makes me think of, like, a bear that you would see that's been played with.
Correct.
Been through the washer a few times.
As he would be.
Well, yeah, well, going to the washer. So, the bear in question, Crystal, is scarily enough, 54 years old.
Wow, that's an old bear. I don't know what bear ears are, but but anyway,
it's a very old bear.
Ears, then...
I mean, not many bears sort of survive 54 years, but this one has, because it's been well looked after. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. You know, you're a bear, and you get to 54 years, you start to, you know, get a bit worn.
That's a sign that the teddy bear was loved.
Oh,
I agree.
It's a cute bear, and that was my image of it. So there you go. I I'm not going to be my 16-year-old ever, Crystal, who can sketch me under the table, but I have fun with it.
I think it's a good sketch, though. I can't draw at all, but occasionally I do like to just, like, doodle or something like that, even if it looks like a 2-year-old did it, but there's something relaxing about it, so...
Well, Crystal, I have to say, a fistful of weeks ago, AP said the same thing you just said. I can't draw. Just saying.
Wow.
It was 4 weeks ago, Deb. You're being over precise. It was 4 weeks ago that you said that I said I couldn't draw at all and hadn't drawn in 50 years, 45 years.
Yeah, and how many drawings do you have now, sir?
Approximately 125.
Wow.
In 4 weeks.
In
my hand would fall off.
So, yeah, well, mine
like
almost
the bird.
That's what Mike did.
So,
should make
anyways,
a new. Should make a new game out of a. New drawing instead.
That's a concern, Crystal. If you're actually saying that they're good enough to do Tic Mac Poe with, that's a concern. But no, it's all good. It's all good. They'll be coming to a IP address near you shortly, all my images. So it's all good fun.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, I quite like the bird, the last one. I think there's something to that last one. Anyway, but that's okay. You know, I have my favourites. Well, a lot better than the fern that I started with 3.5 weeks ago. So to say that I have favourites is probably not bad.
The bird's got a cute ring around its eye in this one.
It's, you know. My daughter is prepared to say that, Dad, they're not too bad. That's high praise.
That is high praise because she's like a genius drawing.
Ava.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember her drawings.
Ava is just, you know, she's just, you know, Ava, really. I mean, she's 16 and she could probably outdraw me when she was poo, I think. I mean, she just, it wouldn't matter how long I went ahead. I'll put one up on the board in the thick of Davis, but she's just stupidly good, and I'm never going to be as good as Ava. How's that? It's really strange to say that, but I'm not. She's just, you know, fantastic at what she does.
Yeah, but there's a lot of artists out there that are trying to earn money that aren't as good as Ava. Just saying.
Look, that's possibly right. I mean. But she's very magnanimous, which is nice. She encourages everybody, which is what all good artists should do. But you know, you can see the subtleties in the difference of the brushstroke between Ava and the emu and me and the bird, just quietly.
A little bit, yeah.
So good.
So, anyway, I might have had something to do with some of her, you know, potential, but she's just fantastic. So, anyway, who thought I'd be talking about the subject of drawing, Deb, for God's sake? Anyway, there you go. We're talking about the subject of drawing.
Our show is about drawing, kind of, so...
Well,
it makes sense.
Toys, and you draw as a child in childhood, and now your child... The child in you is coming out because you're drawing, and it led to us getting to see Ava's emu.
Exactly, which is a very, very funky little work of art, just quietly. Okey-doke. Well, that's about all from me, Crystal. I've talked about poems and talked about drawing and all that sort of stuff, and so now I'm going to sort of nap off to somewhere else. So thank you.
Thank you for bringing the drawings too, because that definitely is. I always like seeing that stuff. I can see people try new things.
Yeah, no, no, definitely trying new things. Yeah, definitely trying new things. and that there's nothing wrong with trying new things. Definitely not. And if you, as Deb rightly said, if you'd asked me 4 weeks ago, can I draw, I would have said no. So for all those people out there who say you can't draw a thing, I can't draw an emu, but I can draw a vague approximation of a bird, and that's a darn sight better than where I was.
An amazing flying donkey and a frog's mouth bird or something. Like snakes and grass.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know, there's a
list
there.
Well, there's a few. Anyway, well, everybody can see them very shortly, Deb. So that'll be good fun. Thank you, Crystal. Lovely to have you back. It's not clear of teenagers.
I will. It's not your daughter. Your daughter's very talented.
She's almost not a teenager, really. You know, well, she sort
That's
of skipped
true.
Teenage years and became she became an adult when she was about 12, you know, and so we've been very fortunate. So,
no, she's
anyway.
Still technically a teenager. She just don't act like it. As long as she's a good teenager, we'll just go with that.
Oh, no, she's great. No, Aza's a great kid. She's, you know, Father's Day present here because Father's Day's a different time. Came up with five images of things I would like, and that, you know, she just a great kid.
Well, thank you for calling, AC, and bringing your write and everything, writing for tonight.
Pleasure. No, great, great topic. Well chosen. And we will talk soon, Crystal.
Indeed.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. See you. Okay, bye.
So I have K's on the board. I think I'm just going to do some of them in order. And I was wondering, Deb, if you want to read for K, and then I'll read the next one.
Sure, I would love to. Okay, this is called Quiet Shadows of Hardwood's Light by K. And here we go. Shirley Park drives, red foundlings dangling like jewels on a crystallized platform, or the summer leaves rubbing the cicada wings. The maraca sounds crackling through the heat, change washing greenery into vermilion blushing as the goldenrod wainscots the deluges. Cherry red differentiates in councils of nectarine, pleading their bow. And pull.
I am, as soon as I saw her and then Laughing Soul both pick to the same picture, and I was glad that they did, because I did like a lot of her autumn pictures, which I may use those in the future. But I am a sucker when it comes to any type of fall, autumn, any type of that poetry. And I really always love reading Kay's. Like anytime September, October hits, I always like look at Kay and a few other people, and I'm like, okay, bring me the fall imagery. That's what I want to see. I maybe because I don't see that much fall where I'm at, because usually it goes from summer to winter really quick. It'll be like summer lasting forever, and then all of a sudden it'll just be wet and icy and cold. So typically that's just the way that it goes. There's not much fall in between the two. So I think just getting some type of fall imagery to see is something I always enjoy. I just love the ending with the cherry red and the councils of nectarine, because I'm just seeing those oranges, those reds, and then bringing out about the summer leaves as they're changing from like the green to the red to the orange. And it just brings in this beautiful sense of color that you're just feel like you're just seeing through her words. But yeah, it's really beautiful. And I always love reading an autumn poem from Kay. Deb, you want to comment?
Yeah, I'm always impressed by her metaphors. You know, it's like nobody comes up with them the way she does. Like some of them were crystallized, the jewel on a crystallized platform, the image there is absolutely gorgeous. And then adding in the sound of the rubbing cicada wings. So now we got the sights and sounds being, so she's tickling the senses. I love this change washing greenery into vermilion blushing. Vermilion blushing is another gorgeous image. And the goldenrod wainscots, the deluges. I mean, the wording's beautiful. The images are beautiful. And if you look, there's like this laid back, like she's, I mean, I could picture that as Kay, and she'd be really enjoying herself, kicked back, leaning on that tree, reading a good book in the cool air. Looks like maybe a shawl wrapped around her shoulders. And you get the same laid-back feel from her words as you do from gazing into the image or the thought of walking through the image at the top. And aside from the poem and the words and the feel, she does really good at blending like a landscape with a more whimsy look in the painting at the bottom. And in the middle is the poem, so it goes in either direction with the art. So it's just like a total package. And I am also noticing here that it was picked for the front page yesterday, so congratulations on that. It's really an amazing brevity, and it was my honor to be a reader, her reader.
I can see that about the front page. Now I'm going to have to – yeah, I see it. Yeah, there you go. Awesome. I know that I feel like I don't know if it's just me or I feel like I'm always just seeing less and less people being picked for front page and stuff like that. But anytime – or like people that I know, but maybe it's just I've been on here way too long. And everyone I know is not always on here anymore. But, yeah, I like seeing that. But, yeah, I agree with your comment. And thank you, Kay, for writing to that picture. Like I said, I love that picture of the autumn leaves and everything. It's so pretty. My next poem on here, hang on. I got one from Heavenly Angel. I actually asked her for this poem because she wrote it for one of my contests. And I figured that she wouldn't mind having it read. I'm going to go ahead and read for her. And this is called If Tomorrow Never Comes by Heavenly Angel. The softness of you enveloped in strength lingers upon misted dreams beckoning release. One look, the goosebumps still come. With fragrant thoughts, slowly, I melt, wanting to feel you close. I've never come close in all those years to completely wholly give you my heart. You are the only one that stops my tears. I'm so scared of this love, but I should know by now. You hold on to what you can, hanging on to hope. And if tomorrow never comes, I want you to know my life wouldn't have been the same without you in it. And poem. Poem was really sweet, and I definitely wanted to add it into the list and everything. I really liked it just kind of at the end of course I'm going to pick on to the hanging on to hope, but also just like tomorrow never comes, I want you to know. I actually told my grandmother about a couple hours ago because she's having surgery tomorrow, and she had a whole bunch of people sending her messages and saying that they were thinking about her and stuff. And she said, I didn't know this many people cared. And I was saying that it's always nice to have like people like that doing things, but I wish more people did it more like somebody's about to have something bad happen or after somebody dies, you'll hear good things about them, but not just the everyday out of the blue, you'll hear like, oh, well, I'm glad you're in my life or something like that. Those, to me, are the most precious. And I feel like that the ending that you're saying that my life wouldn't have been the same without you in it, that we need to be saying that to a lot more people actually knowing that we are telling them that we care. But yeah, this is really, really beautiful. And I'm glad she let me read it on the show tonight. Deb, you want to make a comment?
Yeah, but before, I like what you just said about if more people would say it. And I wholeheartedly agree. It's like sometimes just saying something really sweet or even as simple as just smiling at the person, it can change their entire disposition for the day, you know, little things. So I like that you pointed that out. And back to the poem, it sounds like it's going to be a tough one to judge. There's a tenderness. There's if you look at, okay, let me go back to the title for a minute, If Tomorrow Never Comes. Now, in my family, we often say, I love you till tomorrow, and it's because tomorrow never comes, because when you wake up, it's always today. So, you know, it's sort of a way. So she's saying, if tomorrow never comes, and goes in a different direction, which I really like there. But right from the get-go, the softness of you, enveloped in strength, lingers upon misted dreams, beckoning, release. I love the feel in that first stanza there. And then towards the end, I've never come close in all these years to completely, wholly give my heart. You are the only one to stop my tears. I'm so scared of this love, but I should know by now. You hold on to what you can, hanging on to hope. It's like, you know, you learn a lesson where, you know, you got it. Hold on tight because, you know, tomorrow's not promised. And as I was saying, it never comes. And she's saying, if it never comes. And I really, really like everything about this. Excellent show. Great write for the photo.
Thank you, Deb, for that comment. But yeah, it also kind of makes me think, like what you were saying a minute ago, to what I said about like saying more than you can, about how important, like, and you're saying, like, even just the small things of like you saying a compliment or smiling at someone or something like that. I remember one time going to eat at a Chinese restaurant with my sister. And there was this girl, like, she was being hateful to everyone. So there was the waitress. She was being hateful to us. She was being hateful to every single customer. You could tell she was just in a bad mood. And my sister and I sat down, and we were smiling at her. And we just said to her, I think we said something about, like, in, like, what she did to her hair that day. I forgot what exactly the compliment was. But we just complimented her, and all of a sudden her face just lit up. And I don't know if she just needed that day. She just said thank you, but afterwards she was, like, in a better mood. Like, she's actually being nicer. And we were like, what did we do? And the only thing I could think is just, like, she just needed to hear something nice that day. I'm not sure. But it does. It's the little things that sometimes matter that we need to hear. Go ahead, and so Deb, I'm going to drop yours next, and then I think I have three or four more poems. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Frank is going to call. I have SoundCloud from him. So either way we go, we're good on that part. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and drop yours whenever you're ready to read.
Okie dokie. I had a really hard time choosing, and then I wound up choosing three, and I kept going back and forth, but I wound up here. And the art itself was called Sunset Dance, and that's where it led me. So here we go. Sunset Dance in Soggy Sand. Mother Earth is quilting the skyline with copper kettle hues over blues. Patchwork colors mark the horizon, adding pastel neon onto the views. light rays glitter on wet water. Yeah. Light rays glitter on wet reflections, and now sea breezes cool the air. Cool mist mixes in the wind gusts, tossing the rings of my curly hair. 10 toes sink in sun-warm sand, soaked by salted ocean splashes, as the tide shipwrecks seahorses, tapping the shoreline with lashes. Rock and roll tide smacks the coast, for my sunset dance in soggy sand, slapping the beach in watery beats. Then, as dark hits, the seagulls land. And poem.
I really like this. I don't know why, again, it just kind of gave me a bit of a throwback kind of thing. I don't know, just kind of that feeling of like being young at the beach and kind of like you got like listening to tunes or something like that. And you just kind of go like dancing around in the beach or something like that. I don't know, that just gave me those thoughts as you were reading. Especially, I guess, when you got to the rock and roll tide, which I really liked that because I'm just like imagining rock and roll music. But I just kind of like having this freedom like inside of her and stuff like that, and she just doesn't have like a care in the world. But I don't even know where. I think another thing I like too is as the tide shipwrecks seahorses, tapping the shoreline with lashes. I don't know why I like the shipwreck seahorses. I don't know why I like that imagery. But it definitely has a lot of that like beachy kind of feeling, which I know you love the beach, the ocean, all of it. I know you and several people for years that love the ocean. That kind of, whenever I saw that picture, I think I thought you might pick it, but I wasn't sure. But yeah, I think that the other thing I liked too was the rings of my curly hair. So I'm just imagining kind of the wind gust and then the bit of humidity and then like the little droplets from the like the sandy water and stuff in your hair and things, and that gives like a good like the sounds and the smells and the feelings and everything, like you kind of just bring the picture to life. It's really, really good. I like the feeling and everything.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. Thank you so much. Yeah, there was also, I had grabbed one. She's sitting outside and she's holding her cat, hugging it, I think, maybe even writing a poem or something. And then there was another one with like a golden dog and a little butterfly landed on the dog's nose. So it was hard.
I have a contest of that one. I have a contest of that one where the butterfly is on the dog's nose. Because I love
really?
That one. I do. I have that one. And yeah, I've had a few different ones, but I did like the one with the little, and I thought of grabbing the one that you used too, because I was like, well, I was like, it's the end of August, it's like in the beginning of September, it's still summer. I was like, I could do some more like beach or summer themed like either contest or things to write to. But yeah, I definitely was look. I think that was one way I think I found the art and stuff like that, was that I was looking for more summer themed pictures and things like that. And I ran into that and I was like, I like these. Came more and more and more. And I even thought in my head, I was like, am I becoming Deb? Like going through so many pictures and saving them onto my computer. But yeah. Oh, I see Frank on the board. So hi,
I just
Frank,
went and found there's only 3 hours left. Darn.
Wow. Let's see what we've got. See, we've read Kay's. We'll have mine, Laughing Souls, and Frank. Okay, let's see where I'm going to go next. I don't know what Frank is exactly doing. I might go ahead and play his, though. in that way.
I was going to say, he's been mostly listening and sending us recordings lately. So
really? Yeah, I didn't know what exactly was going on with that one. I figured he probably was listening. I think I remember somebody telling me that. I mean, I knew while I was gone that there might have been, like, some people that were, like, changes that happened or something like that, but I didn't know. But, yeah, I will definitely put down a scroll up and find his recording again. I had it on me, and then I moved it. Shame on me. Let's see. Should be right in here. Yep, got it. All right, let me go ahead and put on the board. So he did not write to the pitchers, but he wanted to just send a write in general, and I told him I was completely fine with that because I don't always have to have, like, do open poetry for all I cared, which I almost did do that before I found all this art and things I was going to do open poetry. I don't feel like I've ever done it. But anyway, let me go ahead and hit play. SoundCloud.
Every smell of your bloom is a sacred scent I treasure, awakening petals unfolding at the morning dawn. I pluck from your lips the softness of a wet substance from the dewdrops falling into your floral cheeks. I see you then bask in the light of the summer's rays. Your Sunday smile is the gleam of the sunlight. The reflection of your eyes are the shade of the twilight. Your romance is the moonlight, dip into the ripples of a pond. If I could be imbued with the deep tincture of your scent, I would breathe the soothing breeze of your fond murmur. Delight myself always with the sweetness and beauty of your love. Be there when the spring arrives to witness you fully blossomed into my pretty azalea of devotion. It is mi flor, yo soy tu amor. You are my flower. And I am your love. In the poem.
And another one of Frank's beautiful SoundClouds. I remember the message that he sent me about giving me this poem. I think it was on one of Sky's shows or something. It was a long time back that I said that I really loved the metaphor of flowers. I'm not really a person that likes, like, getting flowers, but I do love seeing flowers around or things like that, and often, like, how they bloom and then their lifespan and things like that. So he was like, he's like, I know you like flowers. He's like, here, which I do, because, like I said, flowers and poetry, I love seeing it. It's just something that tells, like, a beautiful story of how you just start as a seed and then you bloom and then your life passes. So I like that he went with this. The ending of "You are my flower and I am your love." That to me is really, really beautiful. And what was the other part? Oh yeah, I see you then bask in the light of summer's rays, your Sunday smile and the gleam of the sunlight. I like that Sunday smile and sunlight. Like, there's a lot of alliteration right there, or even the reflection of your eyes in the shade of the twilight. Just something always really beautiful when you see the moonlight, like, glistening in someone's eyes. And then you're sitting there talking about the sunlight of their smile. It kind of gives that romantic feel a little bit. But yeah, this to me is really, really beautiful. And it gives that like blossoming, blooming feeling of the flower and stuff like that. And, but he always writes like really well when it comes to like more a little bit romantic. Like it's like with Frank, you have romantic or you have like dark haunted. That's the weird thing. He could like turn from 0 to 90 and like you all of a sudden you just got this beautiful like romantic poem, then to sitting there scaring people with sound clouds. No, I'm just kidding on that part, but yeah, I enjoyed this, Frank, and thank you for bringing it tonight. What did you think, Deb?
I agree. I think it's a really pretty write to notice there that it's a gold-winning poem. It's easy to see why. My pretty azalea, every smell of your bloom is sacred scent I treasure. There's a matter of respect for nature right there with the sacred scent of the bloom. You get such an appreciation for nature from just that. I pluck from your lips the softest of wet substance, from the dewdrops falling on your floral cheeks. It's just, and you can literally picture the dew, the little droplets that are sitting on the petals, and so the descriptions are very vivid. Your romance is the moonlight dip into the ripples of the pond. I mean, just gorgeous. You could just sit there and close your eyes and listen to him read and feel the nuance that he was trying to create with his words. I think that he did an absolutely brilliant job with the sights, with the sense, and with the feel, that the tender feel that came along with it as well. I like when Frank shares his softer, gentler side.
Great comment, Deb. I was looking at what he said on the board. He said, "I try not to stare," and I was like, "I'm just kidding." And it is. It's. I often see it go from like where it'll be like a very romantic write, and then the next thing we know, he's going like very dark, or like when he does like those like very haunted feeling kind of, and then the notorious evil laugh or something like that. Like not really scary, just more of like a haunted feel than the more softer romantic. I just always find it interesting when I can see people do that, because then I know that you can write just about anything. Just an actor. Uh-huh. All right, so let me grab the next write. I only have two left. Let's see. I think what I'll go ahead and do is, Deb, if I could have you read for Laughing Soul, and then I'll read mine. And I guess we'll do announcements and everything and be done for the night. I kind of figure it's late. Not a lot of people are going to call. Which is okay, because I honestly can't blame them. But if you want to go ahead and read for Laughing Soul.
If you like looked at the patterns at the end of the summer, between like getting ready for Labor Day weekend and then people rushing to get their kids ready for school and whatnot, this is one of the times a year where it's a little quieter, which sometimes is a nice thing, because we got to have a lot of conversations tonight, so I think it's actually a beautiful show all the way around. And I'm sorry, I was away from, okay, I'm trying to find, there it is, sorry about that. I couldn't find the board to see the poem, but now I see it. Oh, I'm going to read this multi-award-winning poem by Laughing Soul called Rusted Reflections. And here we go. On timeless wings sang rusted memories, of a mirage, those summer reveries. My scars, a beacon on moon nights, whilst bleeding reflections mirrored cerulean seas. Off the wind spoke to me, whispers of my dreams forsaken. Off the sky etched silhouettes, my benumbed desire to awaken. An autumn painted on canvas rustic becalmed my frosted trills. Serenade on wings timeless, an evermore motley sunshine kiss, and poem.
That is very beautiful. And she wrote to the same picture that Kay did. I think a lot of people are just kind of like, is it fall yet? Like, I need some fall imagery. I don't know. I like that what she uses at the end more, evermore motley. I remember using motley a long time ago. I haven't used that word in a while. I don't often see it that often, people using it. But I think I love the off the sky edge silhouette, because silhouette is a word I often like to use. I like seeing it here, but I like that she brings in the different colors and even a little bit of the different seasons of bringing in summer or bringing in those different colored seas and different colored nights and things like that, and then changing into like a rustic a feeling when it starts getting a little cooler, and then you get all the different colors and things, but you'll still see like the sunshine and things like that. To me, this is like, it deserves the silvers that it got. Because it definitely has like that very poetic nature kind of feel. Things that I often love to read. And because when you're just kind of in that like poetic land kind of feeling. So I think she did a great job on this. And I love the title too, Rested Reflection. There you go again with the alliteration. But yeah, it's really beautiful. You can go ahead and make your comment, Deb.
Yeah, I think that it's gorgeous too. I love the, right there from the opening, on timeless wings sang rusted memories of a mirage, those summer reveries. It's like there's nostalgia mixed with maybe a little bit of sadness and a hope or a wish for the past, for what once was, and then my scars, a beacon of moonless nights. And there's, between the scars and the moonless night, you can picture the darkness and the sadness. So just in the first couple of lines, that there's a journey that you go on of emotions. And then, like the wind spoke to me. The wind spoke to me. The thought of that is really haunting. And then it's actually whispers of dreams that were forsaken. So it's just like, it feels like a back and forth, like the good and the bad mixed together and back and forth. And then at the end, the serenade on wings, timeless and evermore, motley sunshine kissed, but an evermore. I think she did a really fantastic job with it, and it's easy to see why it's a multiple award winner, and it was also my honor to be her reader for you tonight.
I'm glad that she could bring it and everything. But yeah, that was a beautiful comment. And let's see, I know we have mine, I'm going to double check, but I believe that's it. Yeah. Okay. So before I read mine, I'm going to go ahead and do the thank yous, announcements, things like that. So thank you, Kay, and thank you, Heavenly Angel, Laughing Soul, AP, and Frank, for bringing your poems tonight. And thank you, Deb, for calling in and helping me read.
My pleasure.
See, today is Wednesday, Do we have any shows tomorrow, or what's the nearest show?
We do, actually. A real quick rundown. Tomorrow night at 10 is with Pretty Bird. Her topic is forgetting. When you forgive, do you forget or do you hold on to it? That type of thing. So she's going to, she's going to tackle the topic of whether or not you're the type that, because, like, I can forgive, but it's harder to forget. So, you know, that's the direction she's gone in. And then on Friday, it is Open Poetry with Liquid Damage, also at 10 p.m. On Saturday, it's me, AP, and Hatter, and the topic is keys. Wherever your mind just went when that word hit your brain, that's what we want to hear from you. And then, of course, that leaves us at Personal Prompt Monday, and it's finally here, the Butterflies show. I heard a song called Send Me a Butterfly. I was totally enamored by it and finally went looking into my butterfly folder to pull out some choices. So that's the next several days in a row, and almost all of them start at 10 p.m.
Right before I started my show, I saw the topic, and then I looked through the pictures, and I was like, Deb, I'm dead. I don't know which one to pick. I went through all of them. I was like, I like that one, and that one, and that one. It's going to take me some, you know, I'm probably going to write for it, but it might take me some time to pick which one I want, because there are days where when I'm writing and stuff like that, I may gravitate towards something that I normally would write to. But then there's some days I feel different, and there might be like a different one that I might pick. So whenever I choose to write to a picture, it's just going to be whatever day I feel like. So hopefully I make up my mind which butterfly picture. It's going to take me a while.
Yeah, but see, that's what I like about it. Now your brain's going in all kinds of directions, and your muse is tickled and trying to decide which one to go with. And I think that's a really awesome thing. And then you'll run with it. So I'm anxious to see which one you wind up choosing. Because, yeah, I knew it was going to be hard for you, Gal.
I know. It's like, oh, how can I even do that? Oh, you know, it's
And talking about tough choices, I'm even going to try to enter the one with the doggy and the butterfly as soon as we get done.
Oh, no. No, I'm kidding. My profile picture, she is a butterfly. That's actually an interesting story that I had from camp. Actually, there was for a few weeks there where I was having some problems with administration. A lot of them were not treating us properly. And there was one day where I had thought about quitting and going home, and I had this butterfly keep following me around. There were butterflies where I was at, because they were by a lake and stuff, and they often went towards the swamp and things like that. But I'd only see them in, like, around the lake or sometimes in, like, a certain area, but I wouldn't see them constantly around me. And I had this one that kept following me all day, and it was the one that I took a picture of. And I didn't know. I was like, why do I have a butterfly following me? Like, this is weird. So then I looked it up of what the colors meant on it and everything, and apparently it meant to never give up. And I was like, wow.
Wow.
Insane. Because I kept, like, feeling horrible that, and I hated how I was being treated and everything. And, like, and I had that butterfly keep following me, and I was like, and it meant never give up. And I was like, well, I won't then. But I loved that day, because I was just like, there's a butterfly following me. But yeah, so for the butterfly show on Monday, and for everybody else who's listening, there's like Pretty Birds tomorrow, Liquid Damage is on Friday, and Hatter and AP and Deb on Saturday. It's a lot going on, and hopefully shows start speeding up again now that Labor Day is over, and maybe people start just kind of throwing their kids in the bed and be like, okay, go to bed, I have a show to do. No, I'm kidding on that part. But yeah, but anyway, yeah, those are the upcoming shows and everything. I'm going to go ahead and read mine, and then I guess we'll say goodnight. The show lasted longer than I thought it would, though, but I knew.
Yeah. Oh, and... I told you we missed it.
I know.
Show us what you got.
This is called Cushioning Sunlight. I got gravitated as soon as I saw that she was reading a book. Here we go. Golden light beckons on her fingernails, polishing the tips of hardback covers. Brunette bangs draped her eyebrows like pillows, piling to cushion and buffer. Her chestnut eyes watered a chapter 10, like a dogwood tree dripping rainfall, rubbing the skin of her white palm against the pages aligning to the wall. Watercolored winds popping against the window sill with the scent of honeydew bushes. Her wiggling toes climb the sanded wood, sliding on the ottoman with silk cushions. Her face glowed in the morning sunlight, peeking through the notebook spirals. She slipped through the suffix pirouette, jumping to the beginning title. And film.
Wow. Her chestnut eyes watered to chapter 10, like a dogwood tree dripping rainfall. Rubbing the skin of her white palm against the page aligning to the wall. You know, I could feel that there. There's been times, you know, you're trying to read and then your vision gets blurry because the tears build up at the bottom of your eyes, and then you realize how utterly brilliant the author is that you're reading to be able to pull that kind of emotion out of you, and to make your reader feel like, hey, I've had that feeling, is a tribute to your pen, because, you know, like I said, you made me feel like, oh, I remember those kind of feelings. And watercolor wind popping against the windowsill with the scent of honeydew bushes. Her wriggling toes climb the sanded wood, sliding on the ottoman with the silk cushions. I can almost feel the soft coolness of silk on my bare feet right now, and like that laid back, kicked back. I'm in the sunshine and on my skin, and I'm reading a good book, and I can hear the birds outside, and I'm just in my cushioned spot. You set the tone and the scene perfectly and created a spot that anybody would curl up in and just chase away all the stress of the day, lost in a good story, even one that brings tears to your eyes in chapter 10. I thought this was awesome. Fantastic share, Crystal. Fantastic show.
Yeah, I always, anytime I see a picture, like something like that, I'm always gravitating towards it. But thank you for the comment and everything. But yeah, that was the last poem. And to everybody listening, check out the shows and stuff like that for the next few days. And I said thank you to Deb for staying with me, and to Kay and AP and Frank and Lapisol and everybody that wrote for tonight. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad to be back.
We are thrilled you're back, dear heart. And on that note, love and respect.
Exactly. So good night, everyone, and good night, Deb.
Night.